Welcome to Vital Voices. Today, we hear a voice that was silenced just a few days ago. Larry Prophet, a legend in the world of barbecue, died on June 20th, 2026, at the age of 82. Larry was the second-generation owner of Ridgewood Barbecue in Bluff City, Tennessee. It was a business started by his parents, Grace and Jim Prophet, in 1948. It began as a beer joint, but when Sullivan County went dry in 1952, the Prophets had to retool their business. During a vacation trip to Daytona Beach, Florida in the 1950s, they decided to convert their business to barbecue. Grace ran the daily operations of the Ridgewood, while her husband Jim made rayon in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Larry Prophet earned a doctorate in pharmacy from the University of Tennessee in Memphis and returned to East Tennessee to run both the drugstore and his family's barbecue business. Barbecue continues to be cooked the old way at the Ridgewood, over a hickory wood fire, with no gas or electricity. When I taught the Foodways of Appalachia course at East Tennessee State University from 2005 to 2018, Larry Prophet was the guest speaker for every class. In this recording from 2006, over 20 years ago, he is educating my students about the art and science of barbecue, beginning with a discussion of how his father, Jim, designed the restaurant's barbecue pits.
The first pit was made out of blocks. It wasn't long. You know, when you cook anything like pork, you got a lot of grease. Before long, it was like three little pigs up. She went in flames. So he built another one out of bricks. That lasted longer. Up it went in flames. The last and final design, he built it very thick walls, concrete on the outside, and he lined it double layer of fire bricks like you use in a fireplace. And that lasts a long time. But even over time, I've just rebuilt the pits down here for my daughter to take over. And I have another one that's going to be just like that same, a double. But at any rate, it's all stainless steel. The fire's laid by right now. It'll be hot already. They'll just have to throw some more logs on it in the morning. But they open that big thing, that big pit out, and slide out that rack and put these boned and rolled hams in there. And the fire's already going good, but then they close it up and it lies there and smolder. The art in cooking it is to control the amount of air that's going in so that you if you shut all the air off, naturally the temperature's gonna go down. But the art in it is raising the door just enough to keep just enough heat in there. It takes about 8 hours for these things. They'll come out and they'll, about every 2 hours, they'll pull that thing out and turn them. In the afternoon, we bring them in here to the kitchen, and we cover them we put all kind of stuff on the outside of them, salt, pepper, and different kinds of peppers on it. And then we put them right straight into a walk-in freezer where the temperature is real low. And it drops the temperature real quick. Thereby, you don't get any bacterial growth. It doesn't lie there and just get cool before you put it in the walk-in cooler. We've got a big walk-in freezer. We put them in that first. And that drops the temperature down. Then you can take a thermometer and check when they get down to like 100 degrees. Then we take them out and put them in a walk-in cooler. When we take those hams out the next day out of the cooler, all that mesh is taken off. Any fat that's on it goes to somebody's dog. We humans don't like fat, most of us. But at any rate, then we slice it. A lot of places pull it. North Carolina barbecue, it's cooked and pulled, but this hickory imparts a real distinct flavor on the outside. Now, as that ham is sliced, part of that, when that that big blade goes through, it takes a little bit of that taste all through every one of those things that's sliced. You can see that you get a little bit of that. Obviously, that smoke's not going to permeate the center of that ham, which is this big around, but it's going to really do the trick. I tried ribs like that, but it's the smoke taste is just so intense that they just weren't good. But then we do beef the same way. We buy a good cut, we buy a top round, we buy hams rather than shoulders. A guy from Knoxville was up here to get some barbecue, and he said, "Well, you're going to provide the shoulders?" And I said, "We don't use shoulders. We use hams. Country boys knows that shoulders go into sausage. When you get the sandwich, you'll see that we want the product to appear. When you come back here 20 years from today and you get that sandwich, you want that sandwich to look the same. We don't portion it. The portion it, but depends on how much they can get on that particular bun. People say, give us a little one. I say, cut it in half. One of my friends, you know, and people do that. We don't, you know, you have to stock another size bun. At any rate, your sandwich is going to be the same, and we're going to give you stuff. I ask friends, I ask people, I say, what would you rather have? Same price, a little bit smaller? No. I said, prices go up. It might cost you 50 cents more, but you're still going to, when you come here, you're going to get the same thing every time. And repeat business is what we want. If people like barbecue, you know, there's a million kinds of food out there, but we just specialize in doing one type of food, and that's barbecue.
Ridgewood has always been a favorite spot for race fans, given its proximity to Bristol Motor Speedway.
Benny Parsons came here when it was at ESPN, and they had something like lunch with Benny. And so they came here, and Benny laughs to this day. He came back here, and, you know, we got all that free publicity from ESPN, and Benny says, well, how much do I owe you, Miss Proffy? And she says, well, you know, it's like $18 and something. And Benny thought that was funny that she charged him with all the free advertising she's getting on ESPN. My mother didn't know what ESPN. She knew Junior Johnson because he came here all the time. And Richard Petty and Darrell Waltrip and these guys came, you know. But she knew Benny from racing. But so my mother was in a nursing home, and I said, well, Mom, it's getting to be race week. And my brother had just died. This was in 2002. And I said, we're getting ready for race week. She said, when you seen Benny? I said, I've not seen him, Mama, except on TV. She says, why don't you feed him? He'll come back. I said, okay. So I rode him up here at the racetrack, and they sent the letter to him, and he said, I would just love it. So on Thursday night before the race, he comes and brings his broadcast crew and whoever else he wants to, and we close this room off and let him come in here and eat. And then he goes out and works the crowd, and people, they'll come and bring lawn chairs and stuff. And you know how it is with race folks.
One of the quirky appetizers at the Ridgewood is the Prophet family's blue cheese dressing. The dressing is the centerpiece, and it's served with saltine crackers. No salad greens are used.
We don't have any secret. We just try to keep the same. And it's difficult to keep the same product. This blue cheese right here is my father developed that recipe, and it comes, we do the cheese, it comes in a big hoop, the blue cheese does, about this thick, and those ladies take a grater, an old-time grater, and they grade that stuff, grate it. So once upon a time, they made a mistake, the vendor did, and sent it in already in a bag, and we had no choice. We were out, so Terry made up some. Everyone in the world says, what has happened? What's the matter with the blue cheese? What's the matter? And you see what happens when you break that hoop, that you lose all the aromatics. And when you lose the aromatics, you've lost your taste.
The customers demanded it. They said, give us a little of this for an appetizer. Give us the blue cheese without the salad. Take that cracker right there. Now put all that stuff that you can get on that and stick the whole thing in your mouth now. But a lot of people say, I think I've got the recipe. And I say, well, that's good. They said, but it's just a little bit different. I said, well, not many people is going to buy a 5-pound block of blue cheese, a big round hoop. One of these vendors says, "We caught some, it's cheaper. You can try it, it's just as good." And they cut it up, and the young man there at Ridgewood said, "Try this." I said, "Provolone." I said, "Take that stuff down yonder to the dumpster right quick before some fool makes that up into blue cheese. If you get into real blue cheese, you know it. It'll clear your sinuses."
Grace Prophet died in 2003, but she is well remembered at the Ridgewood, especially for the barbecue beans she created.
These beans, the gentleman here is from Memphis, and when I was down there, we would go, when I was in school in Memphis from 65 through 69 at the University of Tennessee in pharmacy, we would go down to Leonard's and eat barbecue. And so they had beans on the menu. And I said, "Mama, you can make beans that good." And when I came back home, you know, back then it was to Jefferson City. It was from there on from Jefferson City. It was Tulane on up here back then. But took about 12 hours to Memphis. So we didn't come home very often. But when I came back on, she had barbecue beans on the menu.
Larry Prophet took great pride in the loyalty and longevity of the staff at the Ridgewood.
I've got one lady that's older than I, and I'm 62. She used to be she cooked up here, and she said, they always said Marie made the best sandwich. But, you know, it's an art. Like certain people take the same ingredients as I tried to one time cook biscuits for my girls and their husbands and my grandchildren on. I tried to cook a Christmas brunch, and on the fourth batch, I gave up and made spoon biscuits. And but anyhow, we don't have much turnover, and we have a lot of people who come and stay. One lady that's not able to cook anymore, she wraps these forks and knives and stuff on Tuesdays and Thursdays. She was here this morning. Her name's Marie. Her daughter has been a waitress here for many years. We believe in paying people a good and fair wage and being good to them and giving them, you know, treat them right. Treat them like you'd want to be treated and pay them good.
Ridgewood's barbecue sauce is in the East Tennessee tradition, tomato-based, sweet and sour, and mildly spiced.
My daddy had my mother and my brother. The four of us memorized the recipe, and it's never been written down. My brother, two years before he died, my oldest daughter that's running this place now is a graduate RN at East Tennessee State, but she didn't like nursing. And Terry had been having, my brother been having some passing out spells, and I told her, I said, "If you ever think you want to run the Ridgewood, I knew she hated nursing, well, you better come back here." She worked here with Terry for 5 years. And Terry said after about 2 years, "We need to give Lisa the recipe." I said, "It's not time." We didn't tell our wives or nobody else. And so Terry died on a Thursday, and not that Sunday, but the next Sunday, Lisa and I came in here and I said, "Now we're going to make sauce." So I wrote the recipe down for her. And I didn't know it, but secretly in her purse she had hid a pint of what Terry had made. She didn't think I knew what it was. And so I wrote it all down. I said, "Now, you start memorizing." So she started memorizing. I said, "Now you write it down." And she'd write it down. And I'd say, "Now tell it to me from memory." And I kept on. It takes a long time to make 40 gallons of sauce. And so then she'd write it down. And we finished that. And then we bottled that up in gallon jugs. And we started another 40 gallons. So then I said, "Have you got it?" She said, "Yeah." And I went out front out here and I got a pack of matches. And I took her recipes and I struck a match and I held them over the sink and I said, "There goes your recipe. And have it." And I said, "Now, if you tell anyone, even your husband or anyone, you're not just a fool, you're a special fool."
Ridgewood has never moved from its original location, and it's now in the hands of Larry Prophet's daughter, Lisa.
Before I let my daughter take over, I wanted to incur the cost on my watch. So In 1980, we extended the building. So in the last 2 years, I put a waiting area out there and enclosed the bathrooms and built new pits and so forth and put our new roof on and everything that I could find that needed to be done and bought new equipment. And we cooked the beans on a little old stove up there beside the grills. Now we've got these big convection ovens back here to cook the beans in and just using a little bit of 20th century technology, still the same way of cooking. Convection of it is no different from putting it in an oven in a stove. But it just got air that goes around it, keeps it circulating and heats and gets a more even cook. But people say, why don't you expand? I said, as I told my daughter, I said, in a business like this, it's so labor intensive. If we had a big debt service, we couldn't serve that sandwich. If you look at that lady's right there and see that cutting too, how thick that is. I have weighed these things, and there's up to a half a pound of cooked meat on one of those sandwiches. There's no less than 6. Most times it'll be 7 ounces, depending on who's doing the cooking. So you can see the margin of profit is not that great. But I told her, I said, it's a not good and honorable way to make a living. You're not going to get rich. But if you had to take this out and do this smoking and all this stuff in a city, or even in a densely populated area, you would have a problem. You'd have to give to the, I wanted to say patient, until you give to the customer, it would be so exorbitant it wouldn't be feasible. Most people today are buying pre-processed stuff. People come in and says, one of the vendors says, why don't you do ribs? He said, let me just bring something and show you what I have. And I said, okay. So here he comes in with, he said, now I've got them already cooked. I've got them uncooked. And here they are in a plastic sleeve like this with some kind of liquid on them. I can give them to you cooked. I can give them to you uncooked. I can give them to you cooked with a sauce. All you got to do is microwave them. You can take these already cooked. And what it is, it's boiled. It's boiled meat. And says, you just heat them up and put your sauce on, you're selling ribs. I said, they're not any good.
If you're going out to eat, if you're going out for ambiance, you've come to the wrong place here. We just sell food.
For Vital Voices, in memory of the late Larry Prophet, I'm Fred Sossman.